think that Edgar Cotton could have been a member of the Duquesne Club. He never wanted to join. There were Jews who wanted the PAA, never had Jews within that. Of course, the Wiles were members of the PAA and others. But now there are Jews who are members of the Duquesne Club. And it was once explained to me that I said to him, why do you have to go there? What do you need? Well, in business, you can't come to a certain degree of success unless you're one of the boys in the club. And that's true. In business. But I think that the Jewish community you take a man like Herman Feinberg, giant today, wonderful, wonderful person, deeply involved in many, many Jewish things, and deeply involved in many community things, on the board of the community college, and active in so many things, even now at his advanced age, where he is, the man's a giant. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. And he's been involved in not only in Jewish things, but generally in the general community. And Jewish money has always played a very important part in this town. And as a matter of fact, I remember when Pittsburgh Opera would not have a Jew on the board. And I was involved with him. Richard Karp was the director, who was Jewish, but never had a Jew on the board. And the same thing in the Carnegie Museum. But they began to realize that Jewish money is valuable. So they've invited prominent Jewish people in the community. Joe Katz, for example, who has been very, very magnificently philanthropic, has endowed a number of institutions of a general nature. You take the Katz Business School at Pitt, and he has also done a lot of things Jewish-wise, too, in Israel and elsewhere. The Jewish community has cemented itself very nicely in Pittsburgh community, politically, business-wise.
Who is your mayor now?
Yeah.
Mayor Sophie Nashville?
There's always Jews have done well in Pittsburgh. There's always been a healthy relationship. It wasn't a tokenism. For example, when Edgar Kaufman started the Civic Light Opera, Edgar Kaufman and Abe Wolk. Oh, people forget these things. But Abe Wolk, A.L. Wolk was the councilman. Abe Wolk and Edgar Kaufman were the backbone of the Civic Light Opera. And I remember it so well because I was with it since it started. And they worked together with many civic-minded people, and Edgar Kaufman was the president, and Clarkson, the auditor, and Harry Boyd, the auditor at Kaufman's. They were one was the treasurer, one was the assistant treasurer. They took care of everything. I remember being in EJ's office many times. It was a very, very warm relationship they had generally with the whole community. And I would venture to say that if Edgar Kaufman had wanted the Civic Arena to be named the Kaufman Arena, he probably would have gotten it. He gave a lot of money for it.
Because of the Civic Light Opera?
Civic Light Opera started in the Pitt Stadium. Right. And then we went to the Civic Arena. Mm-hmm. And
the roof opened.
Huh?
The roof would open, right?
Yeah. I remember one year Jerry Lewis was in a show, and I remember the comment from him. We had a press party, and he said, "I'm waiting for that cantaloupe to open." That was a fascinating time.
What year was that?
Civic Light Opera started in 48. In 40, excuse me, 46. Yeah. When I came back from the Army, was brought into that almost immediately. And I was Willie Wehmatall's eyes the last year or so. He was the managing director, William Wehmatall. He was a Bonn. Von Wehmatall.
So that was a wobble year or a V?
It's a middle wheat, it's a middle wobble year. It's a we, yeah. Von Wiementhal was with a Y, with a W.
And the Civic Arena was built probably in the late 50s?
Yeah.
Early 60s.
But it, and then I had trouble with trying to open the roof. We used to have shows on the roof open. But it's changed. See, E.J. Edgar Hoffman probably had the idea at that time to use Pittsburgh talent in these shows. You bring in one or two stars and the rest is Pittsburgh talent, which they've been trying to do now, too, I understand. But they've now been bringing package shows like we used to play at the Nixon. But it's a wonderful experience for some Pittsburgh kids.
You didn't mention public theater with all the theaters.
Public theater, you see, the theater in the round is an entirely different kind of, plus they have a proscenium stage too, I understand. I've been watched a few times, but I think the city made a mistake. They should have bought the old Nixon. It was a wonderful theater. I mean, the new Nixon, the last one, wonderful theater. Wouldn't have the expense and costs, but I don't know, it just never worked out. And, I know that they had been involved with it, some of the women who were behind the public theater did make overtures for the theater.
Do you think it'll be good when the new theater is built in town?
The
public theater is?
That's not fair for me to say. I don't know. If they build a theater, I'm sure there'll be people. I'm far from being an authority in this field, in this business. But I grew up in the perimeter of it all my life, so I sort of get a certain. But I think they're pricing themselves out of the market. Pittsburgh can't have that kind of stuff. Can't handle it. A consistent. I will tell you this about Jews. If Jews don't buy the show, they die. That's an axiom in the theater. And we used to joke about the fact that the Jews didn't want to walk up that hill, the cardiac hill that went to Pitt Stadium. So that's why they haven't moved. I remember Leo Carlin was telling me, they'll rather go. These Jews, and I've had to take a plane to New York to see the show than to walk up that hill.
Do you ever do any work with radio and TV?
No, only peripheral. Never got involved.
Okay.
I was with the Playhouse. I was involved in the Playhouse.
Yeah. I want to know about your friendship with Robin.
Started many, many years ago. I was to publish their bulletin. Temple Bulletin, and I developed a very warm relationship when he was active, and later when he became emeritus, when there was more time, I used to spend a good deal of time with him. And he was an amazing scholar. I used to always kid him. We were at opposite poles, observance-wise, and I certainly couldn't measure it up to his scholarship. Couldn't mind. Imagine it that 92 or 93 or 94, he could still quote. I would start a passage, he would finish it. That was amazing. And we had. He loved to talk Yiddish. We used to talk Yiddish a lot. And. I enjoyed many, many years of, and I always, I say to my contemporaries, I wouldn't even know about it. I never discussed it with anybody.
Well,
yeah,
you had
I must have 100 or 150 letters. We would talk about something. We would write me a letter about it. And I remember one time he needed some little stickers with his name. He used to send books all over the world. So I had the prayer for some books. He sent me such a beautiful letter from what I got, a couple of 500 volt name tags. But just little conversations that were vignettes of the kind of person it was. And he would go into deep research on something. We would discuss something. For example, I once was discussing with him the concept, a child is supposed to honor father and mother. It's a commandment in the Torah. Does a child have an obligation to honor grandparents, grandmother, grandfather? So we were just talking about it. And he writes me a long letter, which I knew, and we were just discussing this. The obligation to honor parents is biblical. The obligation to honor grandparents is just as important as long as the parents are alive. Because in honoring the grandparents, you honor the parents. It's part of honoring the parents. So, the different twists. Very interesting conversations we had. And some of the questions in his, he wrote several books of response. Mm-hmm. So some of the subjects in there are subjects that we talked about. He says, I would never put your name in there. He says, because you're actually the president of Orthodox Shul, it wouldn't look good. But some of the very discussions that we had are in his response. Because generally, the question, he always had the name of the questioner. It's very interesting.
I'm glad you brought it up.
It's trivial.
That's the kind of thing we want to know.
Unimportant. It's not... sometimes the tidbit of trivia becomes the more important thing. It's not. It's nothing.
Now I want to know about your nephew. Do you have another question? Yeah. Okay. Tell us about. It's all the same way, I think.
There are 10 of these.
Yeah.
These are the lithographs that are hanging in the walls.
Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem.
Okay.
The original. Batiks, or what we call them, they call it original paintings, are as you enter a Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in the lobby, there are 500 of these sets. Now, this is.
You have a set of 10 in your home?
No, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 2 that are unframed. No, 1 is unframed. We gave 1 each to each of the children. Now this is these are the letters of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
This is the art of the alphabet, because the legend is that every letter came before God and said, "I want to be the first letter in the Torah." And God said, Zion, you can't be. Zion is, clay Zion is instruments of warfare. You can't. Ches is chet, sin. You can't be. Each letter was vetoed, and the Beis was the first letter for Bereishis. That's the first letter in the alphabet. I have the legend framed.
Who is the artist?
Ardon.
A-R-D-O-N.
This is in Hebrew.
Yeah.
And this is in English. And it tells the story of the alphabet. Fancy has a love affair with the alphabet. She did this.
There's a bench on.
Fancy has a love affair with the Hebrew alphabet. She, these were given to us by Arma Futton, by Charlie Bendheim. Charles Bendheim is the president of Shaarey Tzedek Hospital in Jerusalem. They live in New York. And there are 500 of these. And we have a set. They're quite nice. It's very interesting. They're beautiful. And the colors are very striking. And each letter, there's a legend that goes with it. It's cute.
And Hans, is it
your home is so lovely and warm and full of religiosity as well.
Yeah, it's nice. It's open for people.
We thank you. Is there anything else you would just like to add?
You made me, I have to tell you, it made me a little uncomfortable in some of these things, but if it'll help you.
We're greatly indebted to you, mm-hmm. and we thank you for sharing it with us.
I'd like someday to hear it.
Would you like to come?
Yeah. Dick Hoover, who was...
You had a lot of...
I have a lot of theater memorabilia. And Dick Hoover, who was the managing director of the Playhouse, Fred Burley and Dick Hoover passed away. I gave him a lot of stuff from the Nixon memorabilia, which he turned over to the Hillman Library. And I have a cute story with that. Ruth Weberman, I don't know whether mm-hmm. remember Colonial Art Furniture, Ruth Weberman, Frank, he's up in New Jersey now. Anyway, Ruth was doing some work with Cassandra Mellon, George Henderson, was Mellon's son-in-law. And George Henderson was 50 years old. He has since died. He drank himself to death. They had a 50th birthday party, and Ruth Reverend was doing the decorating for that 50th birthday party for George. And I knew him because I handled the gathering of the Scottish clans here. Every year they had events, which I helped them. George Henderson loved Noel Coward. And Ruth called me and said, do you have any programs of Noel Coward played Pittsburgh in Blythe Spirit and a couple of other shows? I says, yeah. I said, that must happen, I'm sure. He says, do you have any posts? I said, well, I might even have some. I don't know. So I started to look for some of the stuff, and I thought to myself, well, I got a needle, and I said, I have so much schmutz, this just drives me wild going through some of the stuff. So I said, I know that some at the Hillman Library in the, I forget which collection, it's the theater collection. So I went to the Hillman Library and I said, do you have anything on, do you have this in this week's program for Noah Coward and Blythe Spirit? So she yes. I said, I'd like to borrow that and a couple of other things and I'll return it to you. She says, oh, we don't allow any of this to go out. So I said, is your director, I don't believe that. She said, yeah. And some of this woman comes out, and I said, my name is Donald Buffett, and I'd like to borrow these. She said, oh, we can't. I said, but I gave them to you. She says, well, you're Donald Buffett. So we didn't know that there was somebody like that. I said, well, I rarely put my name to any of the programs. Periodically, the Civic Hot Opera and other stuff, and I did. So she says, yep, I didn't know that there was such a person. Because I don't very low key and this sort of thing. But it was a curious thing, so she let me have them. And then I brought them back. And they made copies, and they decorated the whole party room with the Noel Coward memorabilia in honor of George.